Hi there. Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we will read the Bible
and then talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people who just want to read the Bible.
That's it. That's all we want to do, Damon.
Matthew chapter 7.
Okay.
Starting in verse 1.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces.
Interesting.
That
verse
quickly.
6 seems like, well, what does that have to do with anything? But it really fits really well.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
Here.
Yeah. So in verse 1, do not judge or you will be judged. Sounds pretty straightforward. But sometimes aren't we going to need to judge?
Right.
And I mean, it's inescapable.
Right. As we read this, I just think of conversations and honestly, conversations that I've had with people where my own heart felt this. We're like, don't judge me. You can't judge me. Nobody
Jesus
has the right to judge me.
Jesus said,
only God will judge. And so, but the scriptures over and over and over again call us to identify patterns and behaviors and decisions and whatever that are not righteous or bad. So we have to have the ability to judge, is this something I should do?
Absolutely.
Is this someone I should pursue in a relationship? You know,
you like make judgments every day, all the time.
Every day, all the time. Is this milk bad?
Right. Sometimes you're going to need to make judgments.
Right.
But we should be fair in our judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Judge as you'd be comfortable being judged.
Right.
By God's words, I'm comfortable being judged. By human emotion, I'm not as comfortable being judged.
No.
Therefore, I shouldn't judge people based on my human emotion or my cultural mores or my limited wisdom. So we should be careful how we judge.
Mm-hmm.
This passage is more of a caution about judgment than it is a prohibition upon judgment.
Yeah, that's a great
I'm
way to
certain
put it.
Of this because Paul takes time in his letter to the church in Corinth, his first letter to the church in Corinth, and speaks to them about spiritual people needing to make judgments about all things.
About all things, yeah, yeah.
So it's in other places in Scripture where it just talks about the nature of the judging we do. And so Jesus gets into that here, I think really as only Jesus can, uses an incredible sort of description or comparison. He says, how can you say to your brother in verse 4, let me get that little speck of sawdust out of your eye? Now, we've all had specks of something in our eye, and it's irritating.
Oh, man, it's not great.
And there's times we try to flush it out and we can't. And we'll go to a friend if we've got one, and we'll open up our eyeball real wide, and we'll pull back our eyelid and go, can you see anything in here?
Right. Can you blow some air into it?
And if we trust that friend, we'll even let them dig into our eyeball.
Go in there
to
for
get
it.
Relief because this thing is so irritating to
us.
Okay. We sometimes need help getting stuff out, but imagine if the friend you walked up to had a 2x4, a plank, sticking out of their eye.
Yeah.
How would you feel about asking that friend, hey, can you help me with this speck of sawdust? As soon as you saw them with a plank in their eye, you'd go, I'm not asking you.
Let's start here. Let's get you an ambulance.
Right? I'm not asking you for help.
Uh-huh.
And if you tried to help me, I mean, imagine just how much that person would fumble through the process of trying to get someone else to remove a speck from their eye while there's 2x4s in the way. They're just going to bungle it.
Plank, yeah. Yeah.
And so in verse 5, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
In verse 5, he says, first, order of operations here, like in some math equations. You get that plank out of that guy's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Get that plank out of your own eye. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's. It's not saying don't remove the speck from your brother's
eye. Right. It doesn't even say that you still don't have an obligation to help your brother get this speck out.
Which,
watch yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's just saying, hey, look, take care of your business first. Get the huge things out of your own life. Otherwise, you're not really qualified to help others effectively.
Right.
And then it gets into verse 6 about the dogs and the pearls and the pigs. Well, what's happening here? What does this have to do with anything Jesus was just talking about?
You know, I'm going to need to think about it a little bit more. I mean, when you look at what dogs and pigs were to Jewish culture, they were...
Yeah, dogs weren't like your household pets.
They were unclean. Yeah. They were, you know,
and pigs were unclean.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I think it just seems like here it's talking about judging and making sure that you worry about yourself. Uh-huh. You worry about yourself first. Uh-huh. And so, I don't know. I look at the idea of giving to, you know, trying to help someone else, but maybe they don't want that help.
Okay.
And because of that, they can turn on you and go, look, you know.
They won't value it.
Yeah.
A dog doesn't value what's sacred. That's why you don't give a dog what is sacred. Mm. Verse 6.
Yeah.
If I have a cashmere sweater, the dog will treat it the same as a piece of...
Ted will lay on it.
Yep. Yeah. Ted is our dog. And yeah, he will lay on it just the same as a piece of fabric that you picked up off of clearance.
Right.
He doesn't know or understand the difference. Pigs, they'll eat just about anything. And I mean anything. So you don't take what's sacred, like your help or your judgment.
Yeah.
And give it to somebody who does not value it, does not want it. It is a waste of your words.
Sure.
It is a waste of your judgment. They will probably turn upon your judgment and make the accusation. You're being judgmental.
Right.
You have no right to judge me. Only God can judge
me. I don't feel
me.
Loved by you.
I don't feel loved by you. And in your effort to try and help, you've now become their adversary.
Right.
Which is why it's saying, hey, look, don't just throw your judgment out there to anybody.
Right.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Verse 7, continuing.
Okay.
Do you want to read?
I will. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
That last little bit, this sums up the law and the prophets, reminds me of the passage where Jesus is asked, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love God and love your neighbor. All the law and prophets hang on these two things. And so there's some sort of relationship between what we just read there and loving God and loving others. And we'll hopefully get into that a little. So in verse 7, right? It says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek
right.
and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. Is this a blank check?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's an incredible promise.
God, make me win the lottery.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's how that's going to work. I mean, I think we've talked in past podcasts about the nature of God being as such that he will absolutely answer prayers, but it needs to be within his will.
Help my favorite team win the Super Bowl.
Sure. Hey, I would be straight up lying on this podcast if I didn't say I didn't pray a couple
times. So let's
say
your favorite team and my favorite team were against each other in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And we'll you say. Asked... And I asked.
Right.
I asked, but they're against each other. They can't both win. So did we just put God in an impossible spot where he's now obligated because verse 7 said whatever we asked for would be given to us? you asked for your team to win, I asked for my team to win.
Yeah.
They both have to win somehow, which means nobody can lose.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't a blank check.
No, definitely not.
Has to be in line with
yeah.
the will of God.
Correct.
But we are encouraged to ask. Now, God is not a you know vending machine in the sky where
yeah.
we say, God, you know, I want A7, let me get that Kit Kat, and then we put our dollar in and then A7, you know, mm-hmm. comes spits out a Kit Kat and we reach our little hand in there and take what we wanted, and so we just keep asking, we keep getting.
Right.
Not everyone who asks receives. We all know. If we haven't experienced it in our own lives, we know others who have, where they've been ill or sick, and they've passed on. They didn't make it.
Right.
Even though we asked for healing. So this is, on the surface, maybe not exactly the same as what Jesus intended.
Right. Sure. I would agree with that.
Okay. And I'm not trying to build a back door, you know, out for Jesus to you know, like, I don't need to explain
mm-hmm.
for God why he does certain things and doesn't do others, why he answers some prayers. I mean, some people pray for miracles and they get miracles. That
sure.
happens.
Yeah, it does.
And that's awesome. But it's not always God's will for everyone to live to be 120 years old.
Right.
It's
he
not
sees
always,
things that we don't.
He sees things we don't. So there are things that we're going to ask for that seem, from every angle that we can measure it, to be a good thing to ask for. And
right.
God just, he knows, no, that doesn't work, that doesn't fit, that's not the best, I've got a different plan. And we have to be able to accept that. Just the same way, so then it gets into this whole son's asking for bread, right?
Yeah.
Or for fish. And a good father does what?
He's going to give him something better.
Gives him bread or fish or
right.
something better. Right? He's not going to give him a stone instead of bread or a snake instead of fish. Those things
right.
aren't helpful. They're even harmful. And it says, you know, how much more will your Father in heaven, in verse 11 there, give good gifts to those who ask
yeah.
him? So God knows how to give good gifts, but he doesn't always give what we asked because he's a good father. And if you're a parent, you know that your children sometimes ask for things before they're ready for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking about the difference between God's definition, as Jesus is speaking this, of good, and our definition of good. I would say our definition, even in the Western world, differs greatly from the Eastern world when you say what is inherently good, what is inherently bad, you know. And maybe that has to do with the philosophical differences or whatever, but I think that sometimes our definition of good is what's comfortable, what is of least resistance,
gets
what
back
causes
to that
us
safety
less pain.
And security.
Absolutely. And so God knows how to give good gifts, but do we know how to receive his definition
yeah.
of good gifts?
And if our treasure is in heaven, going back to the last chapter,
then we will know
then
how.
Then we will
it.
Know how.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Our eye is good. Our attitude is good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to take what God provides and see it as good.
Yeah.
And take what he does not provide and say, hey, I guess that wasn't my time for it. And that's okay. I mean, there are times when your kid wants to handle a sharp object, but they're not ready to handle a sharp object.
Right.
Or they want to stay out later with their friends and they want to have a later curfew, but they're not ready for a later curfew.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I mean? There's just so many things that as a parent, you don't give to your child. And it's not because you don't love them. It's not because you're sitting at home going, gee, how can I make my kid's life more difficult?
Right.
You're actually doing the opposite. You're thinking, how can I help my child? And sometimes you help your child by saying no or not right
yeah.
now. And the same is true with God. So yes, we should ask. And yes, God will give a good gift. And yes, sometimes that good gift will be the answer, not right now. Or
yeah.
I got something else for you. That's not what you asked for, but it is what you need.
Absolutely.
How are we doing on time here on this one?
Well, We're rolling up on 15 now.
All right, let's end it.
Okay. We're so grateful that you joined us today, and we would always want to remind you of this important thing here.
This important thing here?
Yeah.
All right. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. You're the best, Ivy.